This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we will be discussing the lawsuits, or how many that have been filed on Trump. So, one of them, the lawsuits is from a House Homeland Security Chairman, a man, his name is Representative Benny Thompson. And right now I'm going to introduce my co-host, Mr. Coleman. How you doing?
Good. Good afternoon, Jenny White. How are you?
I'm fine. And if I'm not mistaken, our guest is here, Mr. Banks. Mr. Banks, is that you?
It is. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. It's been a long day.
Oh, okay. Well, I thank you for sharing some of your evening with us. And if you would like, you want to start?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
And good evening to you as well, Mr. Coleman.
Good evening, Mr. Banks. How are you today?
Excellent. Jenny, it's interesting that you started with the lawsuits. I did some homework for a change to actually prepare for this, and
okay.
I discovered. There are actually 11 lawsuits out there.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, if you want to start there, so the one with Rep. Benny Thompson, who I'm hoping to work with soon.
Okay.
He's suing Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and two other far right groups. The Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, and how they looked at it, I guess, is for allegedly conspiring to incite the deadly violence on January 6th, but he also is joining up with the NAACP and a civil rights law firm to look at this issue as well. And then as I started to look some more, there are the sexual assault and defamation lawsuits that are still out there.
Oh, yeah.
Filed by the former Ellie columnist E. Jean Carroll and the former Apprentice contestant Summer Zervos. I think you remember that, who alleged that Trump wrongfully described their sexual assault claims against him as false. So they're filing a lawsuit. Then you have the Georgia District Attorney open criminal inquiry into Trump's efforts to subvert the election.
Right.
You have
called him
Georgia,
18 times.
Right, exactly. but then you have the Georgia Secretary of State elections investigation, so that's happening. This one I forgot about, the D.C. prosecutions. So there's D.C. Attorney General and the U.S. District Attorney for D.C. They're looking at all angles of the assault on the Capitol and whether the violence had been incited. I guess I forgot that the district attorney's actually in D.C. Was looking at it. You got the state of New York criminal and civil investigations. That's Letitia James, the attorney general there. You also have the Department of Justice. Now, nothing's happened yet, but President Biden is being urged to investigate Trump as well but I think there's some reluctance there because, of course, it's his predecessor, but he's being encouraged for the incitement or the insurrection as well. There's allegations of income tax fraud, so that could potentially take place. Then the Michael Cohen criminal case, that's the crime against the Justice Department, and they had already determined Trump had some dealings with that. And then don't forget about Ukraine, and then there's still the Russia Mueller report. So that's 11, Jenny.
Well, what about isn't some of the the people that made the election machines, aren't they going after him as well?
Well, what I understood, I got a little connection to some of that, but what I understood that they were doing, when I say connection, is I know someone that worked for them. What I understood they're doing is that they're suing Giuliani. I don't think Trump is brought up in that lawsuit, but they're suing Giuliani, and I thought it was one other person, but I don't think it's Trump.
Oh, I thought they were going after him.
Now, I could be wrong, but because Giuliani went around the country on behalf of the president.
Yes, he did.
He's the one that's said all the different, you know, colorful language about the company. And I don't know why the company escapes my mind. It was all in the news. But anyway, that's the only person that I knew that they were suing, and one other person, but it wasn't Trump.
Oh, okay. I just thought because he was somebody was saying that those machines weren't, you know, right. So
it's been a company that's been around for a number of years, and it was just conspiracy. And I don't think Trump ever said anything out his mouth, but I think they're charging disparaging their character or something like that. Libel and all of that against Giuliani.
Well, let me ask you this one thing, since we were talking about the machines. Do you think any of this, because if you continue to repeat something over and over and over, I mean, not only will other people believe it, but I think you start believing it yourself. Do you think that it might have any kind of result or situation during when we have to vote again? Do you think people will be hesitant, or I don't know, what do you think?
Well, that's a good point, Jenny. I think in a lot of parts around the country, we tend to have short-term memories, and so some of this will blow over and you won't hear it again. There's been conspiracy about voting machines and various companies for a number of years. And if you recall, there's been shows or television shows that talk about it, the conspiracy. If you remember, what's the sister that did, I see her face, but it was a real popular show on Channel 7. But there's been those kind of shows, and they're really, it's difficult. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's difficult to really be able to manipulate machines like that. And I think this will blow over by the time, you know, additional elections come around. You know, most people are going into their local elections, And I don't really think people think about that kind of a conspiracy. It's happened before. There's been television shows about it. I think people generally feel safe and okay about that their vote count, especially since all the wins that happen with the Democratic Party, and for the most part, that's where you find many of us in that party. And so I think they're feeling good about voting these days. And so all of that is not going to be a big deal as we go into local and midterm elections in a year.
Okay, I was wondering if that,
yeah.
But they did say that this was the best, election because of the machines and I guess the workers as well, and that there was nothing, wrong with it. So, but he kept saying it was stolen from him. And tell me this, if you can. Why are they so stuck on Donald Trump, the Republicans?
Well, it's interesting that you said that. One of the things that I found Donald Trump has had an amazing, and as a communications, PR person, government person, he has been an amazing rise in the Republican Party, and he has become quite influential. And so he's a powerful part of that party and still is.
A Democratic first, though.
Right, exactly.
And he said that the Republican Party, if he ran, he would run as a Republican because they were stupid. Now, evidently, and we find that to be true.
And so remember the short-term memory I talked about, and you see how the Republicans still embraced him. And there's this group called the Radical Trump Republicans, and as we did some data, I had Eric on my team, who you've met before. We did an analysis, and there's still 72.33% of Republican voters that are considered radical Trump Republicans, and 27.67% are non-Trump Republicans. And so if you think about those numbers, that means the party is not split down the center, but they are split. So there are two different Republican parties, and it's all because of Trump.
But, I just couldn't understand why they cling to him. But I think one of the reasons would be because they want his followers to vote for them. And they can say, I stood behind Trump and this, that, and the other, So maybe they would vote for them when they hear that.
But the other thing, too, Jenny, that I think, think about the kind of people that continue to support him. So they have for so long, the Karens of the world, they were all quiet from a standpoint that they wouldn't have that they wouldn't just be open like that to do the kind of things that you see these kind of folks do. And I think it was a mask for so long. And when Trump came around and energized whatever it is he did with this party and allowed folks or encouraged folks to say whatever's on their mind, do whatever's on their mind, and for people that they feel are under them or beneath them and say it and say it loud, I think it felt like it gave them some sense of pride, and as they say, some form of courage to be able to do and say the same things. Now, some of them, again, I say, they went to the wrong person or was in front of the wrong person.
But a lot of
them just got this crazy courage to go out there and just do and say whatever they want.
What's his name? Just came back from Cancun.
Oh, my gosh. Cruz? Can you believe that?
when he got people in Texas. I have people in Texas. I have to call my daughter every day to see if she got likes, you know.
Right.
And then they're telling me they're, what are they doing with the snow? They're heating it up, trying to get some water. They have no water.
Exactly.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
And then the optics just to be able to leave town like that. It's just amazing to me that people don't think about things like that. That I'm getting ready to go to Cancun.
11 and 12-year-old girls. And left the dog.
Right.
Don't forget.
They left the dog.
They left the dog in the cold house. And the dog was sitting at the door waiting for him to come back home.
Oh, gosh. Amazing.
Yeah, Ted Cruz needs to go somewhere and sit down. But I believe that, like you said, they have come out. They were always white supremacists, but they were kind of holding it in. And now that Trump brought it out, hey, it's okay, you know. So now we know. Now we know you.
Exactly.
Ted Cruz needs to go sit down. Go sit down. He's like the mayor, but the mayor of Texas, he left. He resigned. And he said, why stop whining. How do you tell your people to stop whining?
I know. It's amazing.
Oh, man. Yeah. So
privilege at its finest.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back some more with Mr. Banks because, you know, you got some information and we need to hear it. So this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Or need help in getting out of debt? Call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one? Starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at LionsClubs.org.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight we're talking about Trump and how many lawsuits have been filed on him. So my guest tonight is Mr. Lloyd Banks. And Mr. Banks, you can start.
The other part of that, Jenny, is the whole impeachment process and what happened. And I think you will agree. I know. I think you'll agree that let me start with at least talking about the diversity of the impeachment managers and how
what about the lady? What's her name?
That's where I was going. And how proud we should be of Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett.
Yes.
not only did she come with the fire and look the part like our,
yes, she did.
Our black queens do on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
She actually, you know, gave the message, and she was so succinct and classy, and, you know,
yeah.
She's an attorney,
yeah.
And she, I mean, it was just,
and
she
they had
came
the
with the
pictures.
Fire.
You know, had the pictures.
Right.
That was, I mean, it's a lot of that I had not seen. And
right.
She was just,
exactly.
I mean, it was on point. It was on point.
So if you didn't know her, the whole world knows Congresswoman Plaskett
now. Right.
Now.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, I was on, I don't know, Jenny, have you heard, you or Mr. Coleman heard of Clubhouse? It's the new Facebook times 10 on steroids, if you will.
No.
Have you guys heard of that?
No,
I haven't
heard of Clubhouse.
It's an amazing platform where you can actually meet and talk to some everybody. And I believe two African-American gentlemen created the platform, and it's amazing. Literally,
what's it called
instead of,
again?
You know how you have... It's called Clubhouse.
Oh, okay.
And so you know how Facebook, you can go back and forth and meet people all over the world. In this one, you create clubs. You create opportunities, and you can bring people up, serve as a moderator, and bring people up to the panel and have these amazing discussions. And so I bring this up because Congresswoman Plaskett's communications director was on one of the Clubhouse sessions, and he talked about, if you all had seen her that day, she was literally sitting in her office, or got to her office at 8 a.m. in jeans and a T-shirt, and said to her two staffers, this particular one and another, listen to what I'm going to say and tell me what I need to do different. He said she was all over the place. But he said by the time he went to go meet her and he saw her come out in that suit and that she had her bag, he said he was amazed at how good she looked. And when he escorted her over to the Capitol, he then watched her on the television and said it was just amazing. And this is her own staffer talking. And he said, if you didn't know my boss, you know her now. And I'm proud he was to be an employee working for her.
Well, she was on The View.
I just thought that was an amazing story.
Yeah, she was on The View talking about it. Everybody was, commenting on her dress. And she said her friends, she had friends that told her, we know you don't know how to dress, so we're going to get it together. Now, have you seen, they created that for her, but have you seen the picture with her with the Superman insignia on the front of her dress?
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw that.
Yeah, that was so cool. That was so cool.
It
she
was.
Sure
was,
it was a Wonder Woman. Hot diggity dog. She did it. But you're right.
And
you didn't know her before.
And let's not. Oh, my gosh. She was amazing. And let's not forget, too, this being this is Black History Month, we also had an African-American male, Joe Neguse, that was on there as well. And he did an outstanding job. This is the first time, Jenny, that in my history that I've seen such a diverse impeachment management team. If you were to think about it, we had two African-Americans, we had white, we had women, we had men, we had Latino, we had Jewish and LGBTQ, we had Asian.
Right.
I mean, it was the most diverse impeachment management team that I've ever seen. So I don't know if people picked that out, but I just thought that was significant.
No, because I hadn't thought about it. But hopefully that will happen, continually. You know what I'm saying? And let's get these people, let them know that we want them too. But I think President Biden has done quite a lot trying to do that.
Oh, man, Jenny, if you look at, someone sent me the link to his cabinet, and I mean, it's the most diverse cabinet. We thought Obama had done a good job. Man, his cabinet is very diverse.
Well, you know, Obama got stopped at the beginning on whatever
they
tried to do. So I'm sure he would have done, he did a great job. I'm not saying he didn't. He absolutely did. But I think he would have been able to do more had he had some help and not so much obstruction. So
So, you know, so the most interesting part, and I want to make sure folks understand that, you know, the Senate voted and it was constitutional and it made all the sense in the world that you tried him. I just think, again, this trial, the trial they had and the outcome just simply displayed that we still have a lot of work to do with people. And for the most part, the ones that said no, and it was such a, you know, was very close in terms, I think they only needed 9 more Republicans. The ones that voted against it was simply saying because they didn't believe it was constitutional. And they only looked at it in the lens that he was no longer a sitting president. But what many people forgot about or didn't think about is the fact that there were two ways of being able to do something relative to the president. And so there are amendments that talk about whether they're in office or not. And so I think people got caught up in just, you know, the one article that grants, one, you know, the House of Representatives can do impeachment, and then the Senate, you know, has the right to try all impeachments. And so I think folks only got caught up in the one article versus he's no longer here, but when there are other articles that state it doesn't matter. And there are examples in history of folks that had left office and something was still done about the behavior, about whatever action they did that they felt qualified within those, I think, 3 or 4 areas. So, you know, it was a little refreshing to hear that it was only because they felt it wasn't constitutional, because then that let me know you did think and believe he incited, he did the insurrection that happened on January 6th. So, you know, I thought that was a good point.
That was it. I mean, you know, in my opinion, I didn't think it was because when they were voting, remember, it was 10 of them. But when it came down to the impeachment, it was only, I think it was, 5 or 6, maybe 7. It wasn't the 10 any longer, you know.
Right.
And then
right.
here comes Mitch McConnell, who needs to sit his behind down, comes telling, well, you know, I didn't vote for it because he's not in office, yada, yada, yada. But he said he was complicit in that. Now, maybe you know, but I have heard that Trump really got on him. Did you hear it or read it?
Oh, yeah, I heard the same thing. some pretty good insight in terms of some folks connected. You know, you never know. You just be surprised at who's connected to who. But, yeah. I mean, you're talking about chewing a whole new one, as they say. It was, one for the books.
But I mean, Mitch was with him all the way. He was with him, and so was Pence. He threw Pence under the capote. I mean, they were going to kill that guy. They were going to kill, K-I-L-L.
Without question.
Yeah, and they had the zip ties and everything. They were going to get some folks then. They really were. And I'm happy that it didn't turn out the way they thought it would. but I mean,
if you think about in the trial, they cited all the different people that because of that, and so that the insurrection or those issues happened before January 6th. I mean, our governor of the state of Michigan was part of the part of that in terms of inciting, you know, the fact that those individuals was all connected to this group, that they were going to try and get her and get her.
Oh,
out
yeah,
the way.
And they were going to kill her.
And kill her. Yeah,
they were
going to
kill her. And you know,
so
now
started,
they have a, they have an issue going with her now, you know. And the people that are suing her say they want a jury. They don't need a jury, but they want a they want her to sit down. You know what? She's a female, and they can't take it. They cannot take it.
That's
but they
right.
ought to know
That's
from
right.
looking at that black woman. Not only can you be a female, you can be a black one and know your stuff.
Without question.
I mean, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
I do too. I do too.
Yeah, but I think, in my opinion, again, I think that Whitmer has done an excellent job with what she's had. She has so much obstruction too with the men. In Lansing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
yeah.
now they want to take
and
it to court
with,
and all that crap.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jenny. I think she was up against a lot between the federal government and President Trump.
Oh, my gosh.
Spewing the hate against her as the leader of the free world. That she was, she was literally up against them during this pandemic. And
all
so,
the way.
I agree with
you. He started that, and that's why those people are hanging on to that crap.
I mean,
you know, what is, okay.
Can you imagine one man with that kind of power that the utterance of a word will get people to react and all riled up to do something so heinous?
Yes.
I mean, just amazing to me to have that much power and influence.
Yeah, well, evidently he has it, and the people in Mar-a-Lago don't want him there. That's what they say. And they say you're only supposed to be there for 3 weeks consecutively, and he's been there quite a while, and they've been writing to the council or whatever. And a lot of people have been leaving because of him.
Wow. I think I was talking to my wife or my mother about that. And we were talking about it because it was like they don't even want him there.
No, you know, everything is falling apart around him now. And somebody said, and I forgot to say, write it down, who said that. But they said Trump will be inundated with lawsuits as long as he lives.
Yes. I mean, you heard me read off the 11.
Yes.
And I am sure I missed some.
Well, I was waiting for Letitia James to jump on him. Because she said she was just patting her feet waiting for him to get out of office. But when you call and you think Pence... the thing of it was he was not a politician. He knows absolutely nothing about our Constitution. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Had he known, but he didn't care, though. But Pence kept telling him that he could not do that.
Exactly.
You know, and I have to give it to Pence. I mean, he was right there with him. Did you see the little cartoon thing somebody sent to me? Pence's head was up Trump. But and Trump
no,
said,
I didn't see that.
You didn't see it, and Trump was saying, "Okay, go a little deeper." Pence, he say, "I know it's some ballots up there, it's somewhere." You know.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, you missed that one.
I did.
But it was funny because. He was right for him. Whatever he did, whatever he said, Pence was, you know, he tried. But when it came to that, he just decided, no, he couldn't do that. So right. That man
exactly.
was crazy. He doesn't care how he wins. But, you know, his niece, the one that has written a book, she said
I got to read that. I want to read that book. Did you get a copy?
No, I didn't. And I think she's come out with another one, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
But I
got
to get
okay.
the first one. But she was saying that their dad told him that, you know, if you're a loser, no, if you don't win, you're a loser. And he said that even if you're sick, you're a loser. Remember when he got in that car, he's supposed to be sick, and he's going around waving at people? His daddy said, if you're sick, you are a loser. And that's why when he went to the cemetery with all the soldiers and he called them losers, that's why, because his daddy told him, you know, how stupid can you be? If you die, you're a loser. Well, I guess you did lose something. You left your life. But golly, come on.
So it has a lot to do with how he was raised. It was interesting when you mentioned The View. The same, I think it wasn't the same show. Whitfield was on the show, and he has a book out called Male versus Man.
Man, man, I love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Jenny,
I
have his book here on my bookshelf. I had him on a mental health panel discussion back in December for one of my clients. He's an amazing person. And the thing he talked about, and he related it to Trump, is that, you know, you can be a male because that was the way you were born, but it takes a lot to be able to become a man. What that means psychologically. And, I mean, you got to read his book. It's amazing. And Dondre is just, I didn't know that brother was that deep. And the way he was able to connect those dots to help the audience understand it back to his book, I just thought was phenomenal.
All right. Well, talk to him and tell him to come on the show. I'd like to talk to him, but yes.
Yeah, he would be a good one, Jenny, for real. I sent him a note after that event. I mean, after the View show. I haven't heard back yet from him, but if he responds, I'll say, you got to come do Jenny White's show.
Yes, please tell him, because I would love to have him. That I'm going to have to get that one, too. As a matter of fact, I'm with Wayne State's Alumni Book Club. That one would be a great one for us to read. I already know when he said, you know, a male versus man, two different things,
But you know, Jenny, I didn't think about it until, you know, I talked to him and saw the book. I read the book that, you know, that's a big difference.
You know, and it takes a real man to, takes a real man to, you know, be able to talk about it like that. And hopefully some of the men might not get offended. You know what I'm saying? I hope maybe they will take something away that can help them. I don't know.
I mean, he breaks it down. He's really good. He goes there. He gets really deep about it. So, yeah, that would be something. That would be a great show if he was able to come on and do that.
Right. And I was just wondering, I was remembering when he asked his son, you know, about what he thought about him.
Mm-hmm,
and was he doing the right thing, you know, and different stuff like that. So how many of us parents do that?
Right. I think he called it the, in his book, it's called the accountability, you know, and for accountability, he said it's no one better than your own children.
Right.
They,
Right.
He said they don't know how to lie as well yet. So they're going to give you the truth.
Yeah, but he was good. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's take another commercial. This is the Jenny White Show.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have serviced the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer, no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It. Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. And we're talking tonight about with my guest, Mr. Lloyd Banks. And he's telling us about all of these lawsuits that have been filed on Trump. So, Mr. Banks, what do you think?
I mean, it's interesting. Let's look at some more of the lawsuits. So the one that Representative Thompson is suing. So they are accusing Trump and the other defendants, and I think Rudy Giuliani and those other two far right groups, of violating the 1871 Ku Klux Klan Act. By trying to interfere in Congress certification of the Electoral College count. And so that's the basis of the lawsuit. This will be one to watch, I think. I think it's going to be interesting as to, I bet anything they're going, you know, a lot of the work has been done for them by Congresswoman Plaskett.
Yeah.
Any of the things that she said, and, you know, I think a lot of evidence is right there.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that'll be one to watch and see, because I don't think, I'm trying to, of all the lawsuits the NAACP has been in, I think this is the first one that they're doing against an actual president of the United States or former president. So this one will be interesting.
Yeah, well, I think they're all going to be interesting. Now, he doesn't have to appear, right?
I don't think so. I think when you do, because the kind of lawsuits these are, probably the one he would need to appear for is anything of where he's being prosecuted for. Now, I wonder how that works. That's probably what I don't know of all the information. I can't remember. He's no longer a president, so
right.
I would think for prosecution, he would have to be make an appearance. Because, you know, if we compare it to the governor, our former governor of Michigan, and the appearances he had to make to, you know, for what happened with Flint water crisis, I think whenever you're being prosecuted for a crime or for whatever it is, misdemeanor crime, you know, I think you have to be present.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I have a caller that wants to ask you a question or make a comment. Hi, caller. How you doing?
And how are you this evening, Jenny White? And I've been just sitting here listening to our guest tonight, Mr. Banks. And I would just like to ask him one question, his opinion. They've been after President Biden to pardon Trump, to pardon him. At this point, suppose he was to pardon Trump, maybe in order to get all the things he wants through the Congress, through the Senate and the Congress to come together, they might say, well, hey, why don't you, if you pardon Trump, if you pardon him, then we'll do all of this of what you want. It will make your presidency look good, and it would also save, in other words, save our jobs with the other side, showing that you're trying to bring the country together.
That's a good question.
Would his pardon affect all of these lawsuits coming against him? President Biden were to pardon him, I wonder about that.
That's a great question, that would be very interesting because one, just as from an opinion standpoint. If I was one of his advisors, I would definitely encourage him to stay away from that. I mean, there are so many things in President Biden's favor, and there are so many other ways to be able to make amends and to move things through quickly. I think people forget that just because he does have both parties, there are, and the name escapes me, but there are some clauses or some things that will require everyone to come together in order to get certain things, so filibusters. And because those are still in effect, he does need the support of the Republicans in order to make some things happen. I don't personally think that's the way to go. And if he was to pardon him, I think you only are pardoned from being prosecuted. At a federal level, does not, I don't think, have any impact on a state level and certainly wouldn't have any impact on any civil suits.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't think, has he done, well, I guess, what did he do that was federal? The insurrection, was that it? Well, he doesn't have to be pardoned for that because the Republicans took care of that. They said no, no impeachment.
What about the Ukraine?
Oh, yeah, you got Ukraine, you're right. Ukraine is still out there, but it depends, So first he would have to be, so you're saying, I guess, once he's actually convicted, and then he, you know, so this would be interesting. But yeah, Ukraine is out there. The Russia Mueller report is out there as well. That's a very good question. And so if he was convicted, there is the ability for President Biden to be able to pardon him. And could that be done? That would be very interesting if he would even be advised. So for people to even urge him now, I think they're urging him. There are some people urging the opposite, to actually try him through the Department of Justice, which I think would be a greater mistake because I think we could incite even more. But to actually pardon him for anything, I think Biden should stay far away from that. If I was his advisor, I would say that.
I think that's what he's trying to do, too.
What about in these areas where, like the governor, of where he's supposed to be having all these lawsuits and things? Could the governor pardon him?
Oh, that would be interesting. I don't.
You see, because you still have. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Good point. Because you got the in Georgia, potentially he could be prosecuted because of his interference with calling the Secretary of State. And so that's a very good point. That could happen. And, you know, because we have the way it's set up with the governor, I mean, the governor's a Republican. I mean, he could certainly do that. And so I'm sure of all these lawsuits, there will be some strategy to figure all of those things out. If
take your
Trump,
pick.
I think Trump, exactly. I think Trump will be in lawsuits for a long time, but I think they will figure out some kind of strategy. But that could happen. You're right. That's a very good point. That could happen.
You know, I keep looking at the fact that you still have these 70 million, so to speak, evangelicals supporting him. They have not only federal power, but they have local power, too, with the politicians and things of that nature. And they could push for that. You know, that's their – because Trump is their – let's face it, he's their great white hope. The white man, if you look at it, is losing power by – population, they're losing power. Now the Native Americans can vote, the Hispanics, and that's how come they keep bothering with the voter rights thing to try to make people not be eligible to vote.
Right.
And this is the whole thing. They still can't bear the faces to the fact that it was the honest vote that put him out of office. They're not going to
have
that. They need something. Now they're trying to say, what I understand is that, okay, looking at the Electoral College, and they one had suggested this. Suppose, like for Michigan, maybe our local legislators, maybe the Republicans are dominant in the local area. Well, maybe just like our President Biden, he got a lot of the mostly electoral votes. They'll say, well, okay, but he got all the electoral votes here. We're going to take some, because we're in power here, we're going to take some of his votes, his electoral votes, and give it to the Republican candidate. They're trying to find some way to maintain power.
I don't think that, I know that they're trying
pushing
to
for
do
that.
There, I know, but I don't think that can happen. That doesn't make sense to me. Why don't you just get rid of the Electoral College anyway, if that's what you're
because that's a way of control. That's still another way of control. They want to control the popular. They want to control the popular vote. It's the popular vote that he was afraid of. That's when it's that popular vote. And then when we voted by mail, they couldn't hack the machine because they're daily being counted and counted and counted.
Right.
Right.
He couldn't get a handle on it. That's why he didn't want that type of vote.
But to the caller's point about, we have to remember that it's all of those things. You know, we thought none of the things that has happened could happen. And so I don't put anything past.
It did happen.
Exactly. I don't put anything past. And you're right. 76 million and some change voted for this man still, given everything that they knew about him. So there is still this resurgence of power that's still there and thinking along the lines of what the caller has heard. And I would not put it past anyone. And those 76 million, a lot of them have influence and power around the country that he's been able to incite. And so we have better be prepared and ready for whatever may come our way in the, you know, before this next election in 4 years.
Look at the midterm election. That midterm election. Okay. Excuse me. Okay.
You're right.
Thanks so much, Mr.
Bain. I have another caller. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, caller, your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, good evening, ma'am. My name's David. I'm calling from Minnesota. How are you doing today?
Okay, good. Minnesota, thanks for calling.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
So you have a question or you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I was going to say probably offer different perspectives, seeing that from what I can tell listening, seems like most of you guys probably lean liberal politically. I'm a conservative myself. I voted for Trump in 16 and 20. And if I could offer maybe a different perspective on the matter as to why things are politically where it is and why I think Trump is still going to be in a strong position going into 24. And this is sort of for people who are on the outside looking in, like, for example, like, because I used to be a liberal and everything, so I understand other perspectives. But for those on the outside looking in, people could look at it and say, what is it about Trump that these conservatives find good? Like, why are they behind this guy, right? Because there's a lot about him that obviously is terrible, right? You look at him, his personality, his hair, his big spray tan. There's a lot not to like about the guy, right? We can all agree. And I would agree with most of what you would say about him. But the reason conservatives rallied behind this guy is for the last 10, 20 years, conservatives have been dealing with Republican politicians who have been cowardly, fearful, that would back down from the liberal media all the time, where they would make all these promises on the campaign trail that they're going to do all these different conservative agenda policies. And then once they get out there, the media presses them like they always do, and they fold up like lawn chairs. And conservatives have been frustrated in the fact that so many Republicans that they voted for go out there and they show so much weakness. And so when Trump came along, even though everyone looked at him and said, as a person, they clearly didn't like him, myself included. But they said the one thing we respect about this guy, say what you want to say about his personality, the man is a fighter. The man is willing to take all this heat from the media and still stand by whatever policies he's advocating for here. And so for Republicans, on that end, it was a breath of fresh air. And they said, we may not like this guy, but God help us, at least this guy is going to fight. And we can rally behind a fighter. We can rally behind somebody who's not going to back down to the media and, in fact, go back at them. And that's what endeared him to so many Republicans. That's why he got more votes amongst Republican voters in 2020 than he did in 16. Because in 16, there was a lot of people on the fence and a lot of people that didn't like him. But they came to his side in 20 when they saw that, number one, he did actually advance a conservative agenda and that he fought for it and he fought the liberal media. So that's the reason why he's endeared amongst Republicans. And that's why even now, despite everything that's happened, he's still the number one candidate to win the Republican nomination in 24. There's no one else even close. No, don't let MSNBC and CNN fool you. There's no Republican in this country politically that has even 10% of his popularity amongst Republicans. It's not even close. You have to remember, like the other lady pointed out, he got 76 million votes. That's more votes than any Republican presidential candidate has ever had in American history. That's more than, we're talking about like a 12 million vote increase from what he got in 16. Compare, for example, with Obama from 08 and 12. In 08, Obama was extremely popular. He got a great vote share. His vote totals went down in 12. In Trump's case, he increased it by 12 million. So people need to understand that, that's still there. Now, the question you're going to have to ask yourself in 24 is this. Will Biden still get that 80 million in 24? Because he's now under huge pressure because he's got to deliver on a lot of the agendas that liberals want.
The thing is, okay, now with that being said, with Trump, you know, having increased his vote by 12 million, he still lost. You know, so, in recognizing that, Joe Biden received more votes than any presidential candidate in history. So, regardless, you know, how many votes, even though Trump came in second with the most votes of any candidate, he lost. So, you know, he lost the popular vote by 7 million. You know, so there's a number of conservatives. Yeah, that, you know, believe in his politics or, you know, maybe the fact that, you know, he was able to manipulate the stock market. But, you know, he's where he's supposed to be. And, you know, and if the Senate had any kahunas, then they would have voted so that he couldn't run for office again. But even if he runs again, I don't think he'll win.
They can't do that. They can't, like, because these people represent their constituents. These people are not representative of government. It's not supposed to be these people choosing their own personal preference whether or not they don't like Trump. They have to represent the people that voted for them. You get what I'm saying? So
but
the people
you know,
that voted for these Republican senators, they're not against Trump. Plus, at the end of the day, let's remember what was said in the speech before the riot happened. He did say in the very next sentence to peacefully march to the Capitol. He said that. That's a fact. Now, when it comes to whether or not you believe inside, that's beside the point. When these people go into D.C., whether they be Democrat, Republican, whoever they are, their obligation is to the people that voted for them. So the same way you would want your politician that you voted for to adhere to your preferences and the policies you want advocated for, same thing is true for Republicans. So those senators could not go against their own people. That's
but Minnesota,
did,
Minnesota,
they're done.
Wait a minute. I know what you're saying, and that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, they're supposed to be for their constituents. But the governor in Arizona doesn't think that way. His people voted for Biden, and he is very upset because his turn Arizona blew, that he has censured a lot of his people. That is not going with your constituents. That's what you want to do.
What does that have to do with what I'm talking about?
You are saying that the Republicans are trying to please their constituents.
Yeah,
that's
I'm talking
what
about
you're
the
saying,
senators.
Right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the senators when it comes
well,
to voting on impeachment.
Okay,
that's
senators too. They don't care about their constituents. Do you really think they do?
No, I'm not saying whether they do or not. I agree if you're going to say
most
politicians don't care. But I'm saying their obligation is that. That's why in the case of the impeachment, most of them voted again to acquit him. Because they had no other option. If most of these senators voted to impeach Trump, so I'm talking about the Republicans, majority of them are not going to get reelected. That's a fact.
I agree with that.
So they had the, you know, yeah. So that's what it comes down to. You know, so, but when it comes to the issue of the 76 million, why I bring that up is, when it comes to Biden, let's remember, Biden promised a lot of things, and there's a lot of things he's got to get done. Now, when Obama ran in 08, and I remember I volunteered in the Obama campaign. I supported him back then. I was a Democrat at that time. Obama promised a lot of stuff in 2008, and a lot of people had very high expectations. But when we got to 2012, a whole bunch of people didn't come out to vote for him because they were disappointed for different reasons, whatever it may be.
But didn't
now,
you guys know
Biden,
that he was stunned? Mr. Banks, what do you think?
Stunned. Are you talking about the fact that he lost the House and the Senate in 2010?
Yes.
Yeah, and the fact
they,
that he couldn't pass any bills.
Yeah, but for
they
the first 2 years, remember, the first 2 years, they had a supermajority. They had a supermajority in the House and the Senate.
I agree. That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
And a lot of
I remember, I was a hardcore Democrat at that time. I followed it closely. So the Democrats for 2 years could pass any policy they wanted
that's
without
true.
The Republicans stopping them because they had the 60
that's
votes
true.
In the Senate and then supermajority in the House. So a lot of people remembered that and remembered that they barely did anything.
But
that.
Did they remember that when he was being inaugurated, the people, some of the Republicans, were at a restaurant trying to figure out how they could make him a one-term president?
That's
he could have done a lot
that's,
more.
You're telling me that the Democrats didn't do that in 2016 when Trump won? Every political party, when the opposite party wins, they're strategizing how to come back to power. That's how politics works. The point I'm trying to make is when Obama came in 2008, the Democrats had landslide victories with his election in the Senate and the House. You go look at the numbers.
Yeah,
so
I know.
So they have the numbers. So you know the difference between a majority and a supermajority, right, when it comes to the Senate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, majority is when you just have more than 50. Supermajority means when you have 60 or more. Why that's important is, according to the Senate, if you have 60 votes, that means you can pass anything without the opposing party stopping you. They have no way of stopping you. So when Obama came in, he had those supermajorities in the Senate and the House, which means the Republicans could not do anything to impede him. So, for example, let's take Trump in 16. When Trump came in, Trump did not have a supermajority. The Republicans had the majority, but they didn't have the supermajority in order to pass all the legislation they wanted. The Democrats could stop them on certain things. So now when Obama ran, he had 2 years where he could do anything he wanted. The Democrats had total control. And in 2010, in the midterms of 2010, you saw the Republicans come in with landslide victories in the House and the Senate, and they set records for, like, the number of seats they won. It was something crazy. And so what I'm saying for Biden is the popularity he may have experienced in 2020, now there comes with expectation is you got to deliver. And if you don't deliver, you're going to suffer the same trouble that Obama went through, which is in these next midterms, Democrats are not going to come out. And then in 24, you're going to have a real issue because Trump's base is still there, and they're going to be super angry, and they're ready to go. Where
well,
will your base be as excited? Because if you don't, but if he delivers, they can come out. But he's got to deliver. If you don't deliver, hey man, I've
well,
seen
I
this
think
story
that,
before.
You know,
so
the,
you know, history
the Democratic,
can repeat itself.
I think the Democratic Party, you know, has been re-energized, you know, with the new voting initiatives, you know, with Stacey Abrams' organization getting out the vote. I think with the new influx of people voting absentee as opposed to going to the polls. So I think, you know, if that energy is kept up, I think that the Democrats can, you know, hold on to power. And I think a lot of, you know, Republicans are starting to leave the party. I think a lot of people, you know, are getting disgusted with the Republicans' type of politics. You know, they are, you know, not only a majority of them supporters and advocates of the insurrection, but, you know, a lot of them are the new redeemers, you know, which is basically the white supremacist party of the Republican Party that is, you know, leaning towards taking power and control of the politics by force, you know, regardless of the Constitution. So I think that's where politics is right now, and I think that's what we're dealing with when it comes to political power and voting in 2022 and 2024. You know, I think really that's what America has to look forward to in regards to our politics. You know, there's a
former. Is that fair on your side to say that?
To say what?
So you're trying to say that Republicans are insurrectionists and that what we saw happen at the Capitol is a reflection of conservatives?
I said a number of them are, at least, you know, 43 of them support it, you
okay,
know, out of
so,
50
so
senators.
If,
and then a majority
okay, so
in the
let me ask you, what do you think about Black Lives Matter?
Okay, well, wait a minute. I have another person who would like to chime in. Okay, Mr. Banks, what do you think?
Yeah, and before I have to take off, Jenny, David did bring up some really good points. But I have a question, David, and I think I've asked a few of my Republican friends this question. What are your thoughts relative? I guess good point about the media, because that's true. What happened and what took place with how Trump dealt with the media incited a lot of Republicans. And so what do you think about, it's not a split, and I indicated that in the beginning, but there are what looks like becoming two different Republican parties. You have the radical Trump Republicans, and then you have the non-Trump Republicans. And from my perspective, what do you think about that and how that will play as it relates to 2024?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think oftentimes the mainstream media, and by that I'm referring to places like CNN, MSNBC,
mm-hmm.
New York Times, and so yeah. forth, misrepresent that divide. And when they do it, they try to make it seem like it's a 50-50 split. It's not. It's like a 95-5 split. So the 95% are the people that are behind Trump. And again, like I said earlier, the reason they're behind him is because he actually fought for conservative policies and didn't shrink from the media like most Republicans usually do. Because you Republicans,
but
what
David, conservative
you policies
think
they
that
didn't
high?
Fight for?
I don't think it's 95%, David.
Oh, it is. I'm telling you. As someone who's in it, I'm telling you it is. The media, the liberal media is trying to make it seem like what they define as the establishment Republican Party, as if they have some kind of sway. They've got nothing. Those guys are on the end. Their time is almost over here. That's why most of them are actually retiring. Amongst Republicans, they're called rhinos. They're called Republican in name only, which means these are the type of people that they promise to be conservatives on the campaign trail. They go to D.C. and they become quote-unquote moderates, or they basically become liberal. And so the Republicans have gotten to the point where they're sort of done with that type. This I would pick people like McCain, Flake, Corker, you know, all the sort of your moderate – the type of Republicans that will go on MSNBC and are welcomed on MSNBC, and they go on there and they bash Trump and all that. The type imagine from your perspective, if a Democrat would like to coddle up to Fox News and convince Republicans to like them, and they would basically betray all the agendas that they promised to pass for liberals. How would you feel about that, Democrat, if that was the case?
Well, that's what Trump did. I mean, what conservative values did Trump advocate for? That's what I'm still trying to figure out.
Oh, I can name a lot. So he appointed more conservative judges at the federal level. He appointed several conservative judges to the Supreme Court. He advocated for the change in trade policies that now across all the different USMCA we saw in China. His stance on foreign policy as far as using our allies who are taking advantage of us through NATO as an example, where the U.S. was basically financing the security of Europe. He said that's got to come to an end. They've got to pay their fair share, and we can't be financing all these things around the world. He got us out of the Paris Accords, which was a total ripoff, which was America paying billions while countries like China and India get to abuse the same standard that America's supposedly being held to while they don't chip in anything.
Excuse me. My guest, Mr. Banks, are you still with us? Now, I know you said you had to go.
Yeah, I'm late for the next engagement, but...
Okay. I appreciate you.
No problem, and I would love to come back with David, because David brought up some really good points, and I think there are still some... some things that could be argued relative to some of the things that he said, but I think...
Well, I have one more person. Can you stay for 2 minutes while I bring him
on?
Okay,
I'll do 2 minutes. Yep, go ahead.
Okay.
Good evening.
Okay, caller. Where are you from?
Hi.
What's your name?
My name's Suzette, and I'm calling from Southern California.
Okay. Did you want to ask my guest a question?
I did. Yes,
okay.
Please. Looking through the executive orders under President Biden, I was wondering, you know, he's made a lot of promises on the campaign trail and so forth. I've been reading about people having buyer's remorse because of the stimulus checks the $2,000 stimulus checks that he promised. And again, back to the executive orders, it talks about advancing racial equity and support for underdeserved communities. And that's the only one. Everything else has to do with migration and the refugees and the immigrants. There's like five of them. I'm looking through them right now. All having to deal with immigration, restoring faith in our legal immigration, helping the refugees from Burma, bringing resettlement refugees and planning the impact of climate change migration. And I get that, but it's like we have so many homeless here already. What? I just don't understand.
Mr. Banks?
I think in those same, and I would have to look at those. I like to be prepared for discussions like this. You bring up, so in the executive order, it was one executive order, I believe, that talked about the equity or how to make or the landscape for making communities more equitable and all of the things that would happen through housing and through his new housing secretary and the initiatives that they were giving. And then I believe all of the departments were given initiatives as it relates to equity to ensure that those underserved communities had an opportunity. And there was specific language that was placed in each of the departments, and I don't have any of that in front of me. So I'm not sure if you missed that in one of the executive orders, but that was part of one of the executive orders. I just can't remember which one at this moment.
This is one of the first ones that he signed. It was January 20th, Executive Order 13985. And it talks a lot about analysis, getting a committee together to analyze and, let's see, to work. Role of Domestic Policy Council, basically that council is a White House council to coordinate formulation and implementation of administration domestic policy objectives. So, you know, what does that mean? I mean, I'm Hispanic. I live in Ontario, California. California, we're going down here, and it's like I just want to make sure I voted for the right person.
Right.
I'm reading the language, and I'm going, what? I don't understand.
I hope, Jenny, we can revisit this because that's important. And I know within that executive order, and I can't remember which one it was, and because of the diverse cabinet that he's been able to put together, that was at the top of the list. And that also goes back to things that David was talking about, is that Biden and as a Democrat, but also more importantly, as a person that also does consulting in this space, it's important that many of the initiatives that he talked about actually happened. And there were a lot of them. And as there were things that was relative to housing, I would just have to have all that in front of me because I thought that was part of a few of the executive orders that he signed, because he signed a lot of them on the first few days. So I would love to revisit this again and be prepared to discuss some of that, Jenny.
Okay.
I would love for you to explain it to me because I really don't understand. The language, it's the language I don't understand.
Right.
I mean,
well,
I'm not an idiot, it's hard to understand.
Well, yeah. Well, I could address, the establishment of interagency task force on the reunification of families. What that one is based on the immigrants that came over the Mexican border, trying to reunite those children with their families. So that's one of the executive orders that he signed. As far as the blocking property with respect to the situation in Burma, it's just a matter of doing the research to see what's going on in Burma. It's not, anything with the people in Burma being over in the United States. It's in respect to what's happening over in the country of Burma.
Right. He wants to bring them here as refugees, not like permanent Americans or anything, but as refugees until they get things settled in Burma because their lives are in danger. You know, a lot of them.
Well, I mean,
that's situation
not
over there.
I read it, and I'd have to read it a little, read the PDF a little further, but blocking property with respect to the situation in Burma, I'd have to read that. There are a number of immigration executive orders, like you said, that he has, signed. There's the establishment of interagency task force on the reunification of families. I think COVID-19 is the biggest, is the first, and I think immigration might be second on his list. So that may be one of the reasons why he has a number of executive bills that are dealing with that. But he also has strengthening Medicaid in the which one?
The ones that he's working on getting the task force to get the vaccines and stuff out, to regular people like me.
Yeah.
So that's
And then he's also has an executive order for strengthening Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, tackling climate crisis
that one too, Mr.
at home
Coleman,
and abroad.
That's right.
Yeah, and then, President's Council on Advisors on Science, Technology. It looked like maybe, one of his, the top five, maybe, three of them were dealing with immigration issues. But then after that, reforming our incarceration system to eliminate the use of privately operated criminal detention facilities. So there's a number of different ones, but immigration is definitely high on the list, as it should be, behind, getting this COVID relief together so that we can not only reduce the number of infected and the number of deaths, but we can also, you know, work to start getting this, the economy back in order.
So, I'm thinking we could have used that before we actually start immigrating more. But thank you for answering my question. That helped a lot because I was, I tell you, well, you heard me. I was confused.
Well, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for calling.
And call again. We're here every Friday at 8 o'clock. But it's
five for you.
Okay.
California, it is 6:25 right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Banks? Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, Jenny, thank you for having me.
Okay. Did you want to leave us with something?
I think the caller brought up a good point, and I think if you look into some of the, you know, the one area that I was talking about with the advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government, and where he issued an actual policy that would be that would impact what equity means, how it's defined, some of the things that need to be done throughout all of the departments of the federal government was one of his executive orders that was done early on. But just in closing, you know, we started out the conversation talking about Trump and the various lawsuits and some of the things that happened during the impeachment process. And I just think it's important that I know, Jenny, you were not initially doing politics, but that became part of you getting into that. And I just think it's important to educate our constituencies as much as possible and hearing both perspectives. I thought David came on in a timely manner to bring a different perspective. And I think it's important that people hear what's happening and what's going on. And things that they hadn't heard before, didn't know about how many lawsuits were currently pending or what happened during the process, or as we celebrate Black History Month and we had such a diverse, panel of people for the impeachment management process and how a star was an African-American woman part of that process. So, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about some of those things.
Oh, yes, you got to come back again.
Anytime,
you did such a great job. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I really, really do. And thank you, and we'll let you go now.
Okay, you and Mr. Coleman have a good evening.
You too.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care, Mr. Baker.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, so is there any other thing someone would like to leave with us? Mr. Coleman?
I'd just like to say regarding the Democratic and Republican parties, I think that there is a lot of work that needs to be done. Within the Democratic Party, I think that it still has some work to do as far as its unification on a number of different ideologies, especially with some of the younger politicians that
the
are
voters.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not necessarily the voters, but some of the politicians that are, you know, currently in the House. That, you know, may have more progressive views than some of the older Democrats. And with the Republicans, I think that they are going to hell in a handbasket. And that, you know, they've got a faction of that party that is promoting extreme white supremacy ideology and philosophies from Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, and Ku Klux Klan, and you know QAnon, and you know they've got several different names. But I think that what we really have to be aware of is that this isn't something that's new. This is something that took place toward the end of Reconstruction, you know, and helped formulate Jim Crow laws, and part of that was the big I'm losing my train of thought as far as the big compromise of 1877 when there was an election for president, you know, and two governors ran, one from New York and one from Ohio. And back then, black folks were Republicans, and the Democrats were the white people, you know, the conservatives. And so, you know, the compromise was that the federal aid, the federal soldiers left the South so that Reconstructionists or the Redeemers could take back control of the politics. And so I think that we're in jeopardy of repeating that. But that's a whole different show. So that's all I got to say.
Okay. Miss Payne?
Yes?
Did you want to leave us with something?
I would like to say the main subject has been in this whole election and from 2016 was Make America Great Again. And I believe from what Mr. Coleman was saying that they feel that Making America Great Again was subservient to everybody else and the main of the master race, so to speak, which is the white race, mm-hmm. they will be in dominant control of everything. And this is what their policy is. This is what he means when he makes America. He started working with the citizenship amendment. He couldn't do that. He had to go through the Congress. He tried to do it with an executive order. And the things that he's been doing is trying to minimize, marginalize everyone else of color, you know. But making America great again means putting the white man back in power where he can right. control the power, no matter what. That's how come we had such a hard time with our voting. The only thing people had was their vote, and they cast it. They did it right.
And they used
you know,
it.
And all of this. And then they're trying to, you know, say, well, we stole it. No, you didn't steal it. You lost. You lost. Like they lost the Civil War. They lost. You look at them carrying the Confederate flag. That means you're waving down.
Yeah.
You're waving something that you lost. The Nazi, you lost. You lost.
Okay. Calm down.
Deal with that.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Love you.
Love you too. No matter
how good or
bad you think life is, wake up each day and be thankful for life because someone else somewhere is fighting to survive. And that's my last statement for the weekend. I'd like to thank everyone that came. I thank everybody that participated. I think we had a great show tonight. And I would like to say, enjoy your weekend. Goodbye.
All right, good night.
Good night.
It's been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.